It is my great pleasure, my privilege, and my responsibility to greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter another day of Sunday school here at Grace Baptist Church. In addition to the two messages brought by the pastor, we now look at a briefer time, Sunday school, a Bible study. Today we want to look at idols, and we're going to see more specifically the idols, looking to 1 John, the first letter of John, after a treasure mine of profound instruction from the one true God through the Apostle John in that first letter to the people of God. John ends that letter with these words by way of commandment. Little children, keep yourselves from the idols. The word "the" is actually in the text. And he ends the book with, amen. Both the words, children and yourselves, in that text that I just read, are plural words that show the commandment here is for all Christians. All Christians are children of God. I say commandment because the verb keep is in the imperative mode, which means a command. No options. It's the grammar. We can't change that. It's the way that God intended it. The verb keep can be translated confine, shut off, and in the idea of those words, it leads me to consider the word quarantine. All Christians are commanded by God to confine ourselves, to quarantine ourselves, to shut off ourselves from the idols. The word "from" literally denotes away from and means departure or separation. I pray you're listening. All Christians are commanded by God to confine ourselves, to quarantine ourselves, to shut ourselves off in separation away from the idols. Now, the word "the." The idols. We've talked about this a number of times. The definite article "the" denotes certain idols, specific idols, unique and one-of-a-kind idols. Ask yourself this question. Answer this question. What are the particular idols, the particular idols that attract your attention the most? You must keep yourself away from those idols. And we must also note, pay special attention to the fact that the word idols is plural. There are many certain, specific, unique, and one of a kind idols. And now let's deal a bit more with the idols. We need to understand what is meant in the scriptures by the word idol. An idol is an object of extreme devotion, an object of worship. We worship what we are extremely devoted to. It's true whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Devotion involves great love and loyalty. It is an adoration of the object of devotion. Acts 17:23 in the King James Version reads this way. We have Paul speaking. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God." This was when Paul was in Athens. "To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now, before we get confused, the word devotions in that text is not talking about exercising their praise of idols, but is actually referring to the false gods of the ancient Greeks. Those actual objects of worship to whom the Greeks were devoted. The New King James translates the word devotions as five words: the objects of your worship. Later in this very same 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul addresses this idol worship in this way, speaking to these Greeks: "We ought not to think that the Godhead, the divinity, is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." I hope we got that. Gods worthy of their full devotion, love, and adoration, shaped by art and man's devising. Folks, that's not the one true God. That's a figment of man's imagination. The Spirit of God addresses this subject through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 5 through 7. God says, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal?" Again, men making something of their own devising equal to God, "and compare me that we should be alike. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god, little g. They prostrate themselves, they bow, faces to the ground, yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder," oh my goodness, an inanimate object. "They bear it on the shoulder, they carry it and set it in its place, and it stands. From its place, it shall not move." Folks, it cannot move. It has no life. "The one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble." The one greatest need for all humanity is salvation. No idol can save you. Oh, did we hear that? No figment of your imagination that you worship can save you. Absolute impossibility. Jeremiah. I made a point. Let me make it again. These gods that we speak about now, as we looked at Isaiah, these false gods, all such idols, and I alluded to it already, are inanimate. They are void of life breath, void of animating spirit. Paul, in the New Testament, addresses this in the book of Romans. Goodness gracious, how often do we go to Romans chapter 1? I know I do a lot. Romans chapter 1, verses 23 through 25, 22 through 25. Paul speaking of these folks who have turned their backs on God, professing to be wise, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. So what we're speaking of here are images that these people have made with their own hands, made like corruptible man, images of men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, images of these things. Remember the molten calf in the book of Exodus, four-footed animals. Therefore, God also gave them up. Oh, goodness. As far as I'm concerned, the most frightful words in the scripture, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Look what it leads to, folks. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature, and in this case, images of the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Jeremiah was also used by God to condemn those who worship the sun, moon, and stars. And before you laugh, folks, I'm going to tell you, astrology, if you think that it was a past generational thing, think again. I'm around a lot of young people where I work, and I'm here to tell you, I have been there listening to them and talking with them, and it comes up, well, what's your sign? What's your sign? And let me tell you, folks, they know what their sign is, astrologically speaking. The Lord God speaks in Jeremiah, and he speaks of religious people that have rejected the one true God. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, people who had practiced religiosity, and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Israel out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, the stars, which they have loved and which they have served and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshipped. Images from the imaginations of sinful men and women that they worship, that they're devoted to. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. It's here today, folks. Same thing is here today as I'm speaking to you right now. It's rampant again. Then there are those objects of devotion and worship, those idols that have life breath, that human beings are attracted to as false gods. Folks, it is shameful, but true, that there are numerous creatures that human beings idolize. And this is done in spite of the following proclamations from the Holy Scriptures. Listen. In spite of what is going to be said, people go on with their worship of those things other than the one true God. In Green's Interlinear Bible, from Isaiah 45:5, in the first part of that verse, I just love the way he does this. God speaking here, I am the Lord, capital L, I am the Lord, and any more lords, none. He is the only capital L Lord, the Lord of lords, the capital L Lord of little L lords. And God goes on to say, except me, there is no God. Jesus rebuked Satan with this command, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, you know the interesting thing about that? As much as Satan rejects that, that's exactly what he does. Because he can do nothing except the Lord God give him permission. Whatever he does serves the one true God in God's purpose for this universe. Remember what I said earlier. We worship what we are most devoted to, most loyal to. We worship what we love the most. Listen to that. We worship what we love the most. Christ. Christ warned his disciples that even loving your immediate family more than him would exclude them from fellowship with him. Clearly stated that to them. Very briefly from Matthew chapter 10, Christ says this to his disciples. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You can't have fellowship with Christ and love anything or anyone more than you love Christ. I think today of myself and many others like me. A lot of folks have a real sore spot with grandchildren. It appears like oftentimes that there is some outright worship there. And we must be careful of such inordinate affections. Think back to the very, very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. What about the two original human beings? Adam chose to follow his wife rather than to obey God. How can you deny that? It's what he did. Christians, keep yourselves away from the idols. That doesn't mean stay away from your husband or your wife or your children, but shut yourself off from inordinate affection of loving anything more than God. We live in a world today, in this present evil age, as the scripture puts it, where temptation to idolize surrounds us. It engulfs us. We are openly encouraged all the time to have idols or to be an idol. Folks, to be an idol is in our DNA. Nothing has changed from what was said in Judges 21:25, very last verse of the book of Judges. Everyone, how many does that leave out? Everyone did right in their own eyes. That hasn't changed. It's the same thing today. And the Proverbs expose such folly. There is a way right to a man, but it's in the way of death. It's an open and broad way. It's a way where it's diverse. It's tolerant. The way of death. The underlying reason, listen now. Do you want to know the underlying reason for what I'm talking about? The underlying reason for such thoughts in human beings exposes the folly in sinful hearts and minds. And folks, if you're a Christian, you take this to heart. Sin still indwells us. We are in the flesh. And we battle this every single day. Psalm 50, verse 21, God says this. You thought I was all together like you. What God says there is a clear implication that human beings see themselves equal to God, like God. Yes, we idolize ourselves. And we will continue to do so unless God intervenes and humbles us under his mighty hand as he convicts us of sin when he births us again from above. If God does that for you and in you, listen, you will no longer be a legend in your own mind. Christians, I'm a Christian. I'm saying this to me as well as to you. Separate yourselves from the idols, especially the idol of self. Deny yourself. Oh, even further, die to self and follow Christ in humble, follow Christ not the idol, follow Christ in humble adoration. Now I want us to move toward closing by looking at some more idols that we must guard against. And since we live in America, let's consider some idols particular to the USA and the way of life in this country. I think when I'm thinking about America and idols, the television show, I think, American Idols. How much more blatant can you get? American Idols. Of course, we've got to remember that America is a melting pot of many cultures. And that has made this country what it is today. Consequently, it's not hard to see why America must be an abomination in the eyes of God. Now, I'm going to go to the book of the Revelation, and I want you to clearly listen to me that I'm saying that I'm not saying that America is the mystery Babylon of the book of the Revelation. I am not saying that America is the mystery Babylon of the book of Revelation. But listen to some descriptions found in Revelation chapters 17, 18, and 19. The great harlot, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth, business around this world, the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Folks, America is the hub of world finance, of world business. Everybody wants to come to America. Just look at our southern border. God has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth, with her fornication. From a Christian perspective, does that not sound like today's present America? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. To me, it sounds like today's present America. God forbid that we would idolize present day America, as so many people worldwide do. Think about these items I'm going to present. Think about movies today, television today, the news media today, radio, iPhones, computers, social media, popular music, politics, fashion, sports. All of these are inanimate idols that have produced scoreless numbers of living, moving, breathing idols that are worshipped at the altars of hundreds of millions, if not several billions, of hearts around this planet today. The altars of all of those hearts. In the so-called Christian church today, churchianity and religiosity have become idols in place of a true devotion to and a worship of the one true God. Look around. What does God say to God? What does John say as God speaks through him to God's children? Keep yourselves away from the idols. And may I say again that God led John to give us that command because we are still in the flesh, indwelt by sin. We are not ruled by nor dominated by sin, but we are prone to sin, which means we have that liability. I close now. But above all else, we must love Christ more than anything. We must be devoted to Christ more than anything else. We must think about Christ more than anything else. We must be stayed. Our minds must be stayed, fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must serve Christ more than anything else. Brothers and sisters, I say this to me as well. We must keep ourselves away from the idols. Amen.